that your bank accounts have been frozen and that you're banned from entering or leaving the country. And the guy who was sanctioned in Germany, I'm just going to briefly read his account of that, because sometimes we bandy words around here about things like sanctions and they seem a bit depersonalised. Well, what does that actually mean to a real person? Well, this guy explained it, and he said, "I haven't been charged with anything. I haven't stood trial. I haven't been found guilty of any crime. I'd no chance to defend myself. But the EU sanctioned me for my pro-Palestinian journalism and stripped me of my rights. I'm not allowed to buy food. I'm not allowed to buy medicine for my children. I'm not allowed to pay for my lawyer. I'm not allowed to leave the country I live in. I'm not allowed to enter the country I live in. I'm not allowed to get a job. I'm not allowed to make payments. I'm not allowed to receive payments. I'm not allowed to pay my rent. Every single time for every single case, I have to submit a file and ask permission. And then I have to wait several days for approval." And in case any of you are feeling a bit sorry for him and think that you might send him a few bob just to help him out, well, I'd be very careful about that, because you too could then be sanctioned for the crime of circumventing a sanction from the European Union. And you could find yourself on a sanction list as well. Now, this kind of sounds like tin pot sort of stuff, but this is democracy now in the European Union, and it is the new repression, as Andrew had called it, because we have hybrid sanctions against EU citizens for exercising the very rights that Michael McGrath lauded in these place buildings a number of weeks ago as being enshrined in our constitutions here. So what we see is, in their so-called battle between democracy and authoritarianism, the European Union is becoming incredibly authoritarian in their actions. It is an absolute abomination. And every foreign minister who sat in that room and voted for those sanctions should be called to account by the members in this House. And I really would urge MEPs who are here present to contact Michael McGrath and to make that point. There really has to be a concerted effort, and we'll probably deal with it in the Q&A in a minute. And I know, because I was there before him in the previous committee, I'd imagine life is very difficult for Fidias on the European Democracy Shield Committee. But this has to be made an issue there. It has to be made an issue in the Civil Liberties Committee. And I really think members here should coordinate their work in that, in terms of how it's going to be raised over the next period. I think there's also a need for a really serious joint effort from members to take legal advice and to look into whether this is something that could be taken to the Court of Justice on the basis of the general threat to all EU citizens' rights which exist from this. Now, obviously the problem with that is impunity. There's limits to what procedural challenges can achieve. But if there's no pushback on this, which is why this meeting is so important, then they're going to go further. There has to be broad political support built to challenge what's happening here. You've got to go from this and organise in your home countries to talk about this. You've got to speak in your communities and tell people what's going on, and that it's a threat to them and it's going to get worse. Honestly, there is really a very small window left to do anything, and it's crucial that we organise to do something before that window closes. So, in conclusion, this is not just about speech. It's really about the fundamental right of expression, the most fundamental right we have and tool we have as citizens. We have to be able to challenge our governments to change their policies. But that's what's in the firing line now from all of this stuff. You mightn't care about whether someone was silenced for pro-Palestinian speech or whatever. That's not really important. You don't have to agree with the issues there, but you have to recognise the danger of what's going on here. Because if it's them today, it's you tomorrow. And tomorrow is already here. When I was on the INGA committee for those 3 years, every single thing they didn't like, they called it Russian interference or Chinese interference or Iranian interference. Didn't matter who it was. So it was anything. Catalan independence movement, Russian interference. The peace movement, Russian interference. Eurocritical politics, you name it, whatever it was, that's the name of the game here. So if you care about the ability to do opposition politics in Europe, you have to care about this issue. And that's what this meeting here is about. It's a platform to begin to expose that, because the first task in changing something is understanding that it's broken and giving information about that. And that's what we're doing here. And that's why this is important. But it's not enough on its own. We've got to go from here, get the message out, and organise for the right to hold our governments and our leadership into account, and not be conned by the spurious ideas that what's happening in our societies and the very valid criticisms that our citizens have is somehow the product of infiltration from out external sources. So I leave you with that. Let's go out there and take them on, because literally our right to survive is at stake here.
Thank you. Time. Welcome to house, Mr. Carlton.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
problems that followed that. I just thought that lots of people would start doing similar work because they would see that, boy, this is the way things are going to go. And it didn't.
Change. Jane. No Jane. No exchange. No change. Exchange. Change.
hope.
Gemeinde, liebe Landsleute, ein anderes ist es. Eines ist es. Anderes ist es. Eines ist es. Ein 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 anderes ist es. eines ist es, ein anderes ist es. Eines ist es, ein anderes ist es, eines ist es.
Wir werden noch nachdenklicher und fragen, kann, wenn es so steht, der Mensch, kann menschliches Werk künftig noch aus einem gewachsenen Heimatboden gedeihen und in den Äther, das heißt in die Weite des Himmels und des Geistes steigen? Oder gerät alles in die Zange der Planung und Berechnung, der Organisation und des automatischen